Welcome to the Eden Assignment, sponsored by the American Martial Arts Alliance Institute. Nominate your martial arts hero for the 2020 AMAA Legends Awards Banquet. Visit our website, www.whoswhointhemartialarts.com.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to the Eden Assignment. I am Karen Eden. I hope your week is going great so far. And today I would like to talk about a couple of spiritual urban legends, I call them. And they're basically maybe some misconceptions that people kind of run with. And I think it's important to try to maybe clarify the truth on some things. Just so that people will kind of have an idea of what's really going on, especially when it comes to spiritual things. So the first urban legend that I would like to talk about today is that when people die, they earn their wings. And I don't know if this came from, you know, the Christmas movie or what it is, that every time a bell rings, an angel earns their wings or whatever it is, you know, that sounds really cool and everything, but unfortunately that's not how things roll. And I see this a lot, especially on social media, where somebody passes and then someone says so-and-so has earned their wings. That's not the appropriate time to correct somebody. So, you know, that's not like something you want to get into at the moment of someone's grief. But I would like to take this opportunity to let you know that nobody earns their wings. According to our book of rules, which is the Bible for me, the Bible says when the soul of man departs, it immediately goes to heaven or hell. And so, you know, I don't think anybody really wants to be an angel in the biblical sense of an angel. They are servants of God. They have been around since the beginning of time. There are angels with wings, and there are angels without wings. But nobody, they don't make more angels. Angels are part of heaven, and they do God's work as messengers and so forth. But, you know, when I go to heaven, I certainly don't want to be a servant, and I know that's not what's going to happen. And I certainly don't want to grow some awkward wings. That would be weird for me to try to adapt to that. So the references that we often say confuse children as well. When someone dies, they turn into an angel, which is not the case. So maybe you could yourself not use that and come up with something kind and gentle, but not necessarily misleading spiritually. There are a lot of misnomers out there when it comes to spiritual things, and I don't know if it's because people stop going to Sunday school. I don't know if it's because holy people and ministers aren't talking about it, but I don't want to be one of those people. I do want to talk about these things. I have also my own opinion and my theory on what happens when it comes to ghosts and things of that nature, but again, that would be my best judgment call on things, because the Bible doesn't really give a whole lot of reference on some things. So I think that the biblical reference of familiar spirits would be in context of what today people would call ghosts in their house. And that's something I would probably save for another time, or at the end of the show, if I have time, I will refer back to that. And again, that would be my opinion as a spiritual counselor on what I think ghosts and hauntings really are, to the best of my understanding, and using the Bible as my source book. But anyway, the other thing I want to talk to you about today is, as we used to say, H-E double hockey sticks. That's right. I want to talk to you about hell today. Nobody wants to talk about hell. Nobody says the word hell. I don't hear hell from the pulpit. I don't hear hell in TV shows, religious shows. I don't know why nobody wants to talk about hell. I have a theory that when you talk about hell, people don't like to open up their purses and donate money. So I don't know if that has something to do with it. But hell is real, and it should be talked about. And according to statistics, the majority of people do believe that there is a hell. The majority of people who believe that there is a spiritual plane do believe that there is also a hell. So let's talk about hell for just a minute. I want to give you a couple of examples that I have to bounce off of, and one of them is my work as an ordained chaplain. One of the questions that I get all the that I hear, it's not really a question, as I guess as much as feedback, is that if there is a loving God, then a loving God could not send anybody to hell. And I want to let you know that, yes, there is a loving God, and he does not send you to hell. You send yourself to hell because you don't have the remedy for hell. And the remedy for hell is the redemption of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, his sacrifice, is the redemption of all sin. So I know sometimes if you don't understand that talk, it can be kind of complicated. So I like to keep things as simple as I can. But basically, your non-belief and non-acceptance of Jesus Christ is what sends you to hell, because the price has already been paid for hell. Now, everybody, when they die, will spend eternity somewhere. But it is your choice where you spend eternity. Will you spend eternity in heaven, or will you spend eternity in hell? Those are the two choices that you get. And I'm going to let you know that hell, again, is very real, and it is an area that is, it's, you know, people think, well, only the really bad people go to hell. Again, it's not, we're all bad people. Sin is sin. Sin is not measurable according to what the Bible says. Sin is still sin, and sin can send you to hell. And we all have participated in sin. But, again, what causes someone after death to go to hell is their refusal to accept the remedy for hell, which, again, is Jesus Christ. Everything I'm saying to you is in the Bible. And I want to encourage you to pick that book up, maybe dust it off a little, some of us, and read it, and read it. Why does nobody want to talk about hell? I don't know. I don't have a problem talking about it, but maybe it's not a very pleasant conversation. You know, I over dinner or whatever, I don't know. I mean, people automatically will say, I just think out of just trying to be kind, that, you know, someone has died and they've earned their wings, or they're now flying with the angels or whatever. When the truth is, if that person did not accept the remedy for hell, they're probably going to be in hell. Are you still with me? All right. I'm telling you the truth. Maybe you should know the truth. We don't fly around, you know, with the wings and stuff when we die. That's not what we do. You know, I just want to make sure, as someone who is a spiritual counselor, an ordained holy person, whatever you want to call it, that I am not hiding truth and facts out there to the best of my ability. Do I have all the answers about the afterlife? No, I don't. And I wonder, I ponder. Sometimes I ponder, well, is this true? Is that true? But I do have the answers according to my book, which is the Bible. And that's all I got to go by. I don't have anything else to go by. Again, I do theorize sometimes, but I don't have anything to dispense as bona fide truth except what I have in the same book that you have. A good friend of mine was a world heavyweight boxing champion and a world heavyweight contender for the title. His name was Ron Lyle. Ron Lyle, you can Google him if you're not into boxing. He was up and coming. He has an incredible story. He came out of the Denver ghetto, one of 19 children. His mom was a missionary and his dad was a pastor. Went to church like all of his other siblings every single Sunday. When he became grown, he ended up murdering somebody, probably gang-related, and went to jail and then was sentenced to Supermax prison. Ron Lyle. If you know the story of his career, he came out of prison 10 years later, a raging bull. I mean, I don't want to mix Raging Bull up with other famous boxers. It's a well-known title. But Ron Lyle, he literally came out of nowhere as a professional boxer. Angelo Dundee, Muhammad Ali's promoter, director, manager, whatever, picked him up, saw him boxing, and picked him up and took him under his wing and made him a champion boxer. So that's kind of the story of his boxing career in a nutshell. I worked with Ron Lyle in the inner city of Denver. As many of you know, I had a martial arts program, still have a martial arts program in the inner city of Denver, dealing with at-risk youth and former gang members and so forth, teaching them martial arts. That's been up and running for about 20 years. At the same center that I'm at, Ron Lyle also was doing what I was doing. He was teaching boxing to inner city kids, to former gang members, et cetera. Now, well in his 60s and even into his early 70s, that's the time that I knew him. We've had many conversations, many down times where it was quiet in the center. He'd come up and sit in my office and we'd talk and talk and talk and talk. Ron Lyle shared with me a story that a lot of people don't know about. And I'm gonna share you this story. Ladies and gentlemen, Ron Lyle believes in hell because he almost went there. So when he was put into Supermax out here in Denver, well, right outside of Denver in Colorado, he got into a yard altercation with another inmate for whatever reason. Could be gang-related. I don't know that part. But he was stabbed in the stomach, in the abdomen, two times. And he was dying. He was bleeding to death. Back then, they had infirmaries in the actual prison, so they were operating on him in the prison. They put him under. Evidently, his mother was called, his family was called, and his mother came up to kind of sit bedside during the operation. He didn't know this. As he was dying, he had a dream where he was going down a tunnel into something very scary and very dark, and he felt somebody grab his hand. This is his dream. And when he looked up, he saw his mother grabbing his hand, keeping him from falling down into the tunnel. He had the same dream again. He was falling down into a tunnel, going down into darkness and fear. And again, somebody grabbed his hand. And then when he looked up, he said it was his mother. What Ron Lyle didn't know is that his mother was there during the surgery and that she was holding his hand and praying over them the whole time. Because of her prayers, it is Ron and my belief that she kept him from hell by praying over him as he was dying. That is his belief. As a result, Ron Lyle did live another 40 years. He did do very good things for the community, and he did it in the name of God. And it's ironic that Ron Lyle died from those wound altercations, from the stabbing, because as the scar tissue built up over the years, it blocked his intestine. They took him in to operate. He had a big Thanksgiving meal. They took him in and operated on him. And it was getting too late. The buildup in his intestines caused sepsis. And then the sepsis spread, and then he died as a result of that infection. Almost exactly 40 years to the date, ladies and gentlemen, when his mom was holding his hand as he was dying, and he said he had visions of hell at that time. Whew. That was a good talk. It was a good conversation, and it really made me realize that this is something that's for real. If you ever have talked with someone that has died and come back to life, many of them do have stories. Some people do not, but sometimes it's the spirit realm does allow people to have these stories and experiences to go back and let other people know, and Ron Lyle was one of these people. So I was very honored and privileged to hear his story, and as many write-ups are that there are about Ron Lyle as this famous boxer. You'll never hear that story publicly written or told that I'm aware of. I don't know of anybody that really knows that story. And obviously it has religious connotation, and a lot of people don't like to talk about H-E double hockey sticks. but I'm glad to tell his story, and I know he would appreciate that very much. So understanding that nobody's really good enough to gain access into heaven. Again, it is accepting the remedy for sin, which we all do sin, is accepting Christ. That is the remedy. Even in paranormal science, where people aren't super religious, it's a science, they still know for some reason swinging around the name of Jesus Christ seems to cause demonic activity to cease. It seems to cause people who deal with possessions to become whole again, and they don't really know why, but they kind of use it like a tool. But that's how powerful that name is, Jesus Christ, and that is how powerful the sacrifice of Christ is in overcoming sin, evil, hauntings, possessions, paranormal issues, or whatever you want to call it. It is very real. As someone who gets called in because of paranormal activity many times, as an ordained holy person, I do see this a lot. And you better believe I'll be taking that name with me. I'll be doused in that name. I have that name tattooed on my body. So I wanted to dispel those two issues, first of all, about death. When it comes to death, people don't earn their wings. And when it comes to death, hell is very real, and you can go there. People do go to hell. So now that I have a little bit of time, I got through that quite a lot quicker. Let me talk about, to the best of my ability, what I believe ghosts are and what I believe hauntings are. So when the Bible gives reference to the fact that the spirit of a man will go back to what it loves, it goes back to what he loves, what he knows. The soul of man immediately departs and goes to heaven or hell. The spirit of man will go back to what it loves. There are spirits everywhere. I mean, everywhere there are spirits. They're not good spirits. I bet if we had a spirit-o-meter thing to put on our head, like a VTech thing that we could see through goggles or whatever, you know, like some of the haunted movies that are out there, the horror movies, you would be able to see a lot of spiritual activity. It would probably blow you away. So when there are spirits out there, they do embody people. Again, if you don't have the protection, the blood of Christ to protect you, it's open season. Yes, you can have spirits on you. You may have spirits on you now. A lot of people know that they do have spirits on them, and they don't know what to do about it. They act out in rage, emotional disarray. Their life is chaos and confusion, and they don't know why. Probably there is something spiritual to that, and it's a dark side of spirituality. So if you're someone that has spirits, let's say you have possession, spirits, whatever you want to call it, when you die, those spirits aren't going to die because spiritual things don't die. Those spirits are going to go back to what they love. Now, do they love where they live? Did they love their house? Did they love their life the way it was? Did they love tormenting people in their lives growing up when people were growing up or in the house? If they enjoyed that and they love that, they're going to go back to that. The Bible makes reference of familiar spirits. Familiar spirits are spirits that take on or embody what is familiar to them. So if they resided in someone, they will take on the physical characteristics of that person, even in death. It's not that person, per se, but they're taking on the characteristics of that person. Remember, you got to remember, the devil's a liar. The devil's a liar. He's deceit. He deceives the very elect. And very documented and well-documented paranormal science, you'll see them talk about how these cute little kids all of a sudden blow up into these full stronghold demons. These are not religious people who are documenting this stuff, ladies and gentlemen. These are scientists. And that is often the case where they will appear as something whole, pure, clean, or light because they are deceptive. They want to deceive. The fact that someone is coming into the house as a familiar spirit or someone that they embody the spirit of someone and they're coming back that way is not surprising to me. It's not all good. Are there people in heaven that can come down to earth? I believe that, yes, with permission, there are examples in heaven where people have come down to earth and therefore sources of encouragement and to lift somebody up for uplifting reasons. if someone is back in the area in a spiritual way, I put that, because for reasons that are not uplifting and encouraging, it's probably not a visitation from a loved one who has departed. So you need to be very careful, and you need to be able to figure that out, because there should never be any fear associated with someone who is there to comfort or encourage you, and you'll feel it. You may not know anything about anything, but you'll feel it because you're a spiritual being. You are created in the image of God, and you will feel these things. So that's the first type of discernment that you use when you're having something going on that is outside worldly, otherly worldly, or whatever you want to call it, a haunting or that kind of thing. I don't like to deal with anything in my house. My friends will tell you that. I don't like having a lot of people over my house because I don't know what people drag in. I don't even want the cable guy in my house. I don't know what he could drag in. This is my sanctuary, my holy place. I have to be able to recharge and renew myself. I do a lot of spiritual work. I don't know if people know this about me, and I don't care. This is my truth, and this is who I am. I deal a lot with good and evil. Sometimes on a daily basis I do this. I have to have my retreat to be a place that is of a holy atmosphere. So I've tried to turn my residency into that. So that's why I do that. And if you walk in my house, you will see that I do have very religious, iconic things pretty much everywhere. And that is on purpose, because symbolism does have its place in the spirit realm. And whether it's good or bad, there is good symbolism and there is bad symbolism, and it does have a play. Those things can have attachments to them. They can call in and be quote-unquote portal for good things to happen, for the atmosphere to change. You could open up your Bible, ladies and gentlemen, a very quote-unquote magical book, and change the atmosphere of a room in a very good way. You can see things that are evil and fearful in your place of residence just by opening up a Bible, just by pleading the blood of Jesus. There's so many things that you can do. My heart breaks when I see some of these paranormal science TV shows that they have out, and they got a million of them out now, where the person who's doing the work, the psychic or whatever it is at the end of the show, says, sorry, there's no hope for you. There's no help for you. And that needs to be rebuked, because Jesus Christ and the blood sacrifice of Christ is the greatest power source of all. And you don't even have to be a holy person to use that, tool, that power source. For someone to say there's no hope for someone, that is not something from God, ladies and gentlemen, because God is still on the throne. He is greater than any power source out there. And he's given everybody access to that power source through the cross, through Jesus Christ. So if you're someone dealing with this, I want you to take encouragement, first of all, that there is a greater power source that you can turn to. And it will work. Never seen it not work. Now, can you open up portals again for bad things to happen and come back in your house? Absolutely. You got to shut down whatever you're causing to take place, to cause evil things to take place. You can easily change the atmosphere of a house so it's not good. So you need to be very knowledgeable and aware of what's going on and what you could be dragging in or what you could be causing to take place. There's always a battle of good and evil going on. Why am I talking about this today? I can't really answer that. I feel like it was necessary. I felt like it was a need for people to understand what's really going on. It's really basic white belt stuff in the spiritual reasoning, in spiritual understanding. And I know that people don't get it because they don't know where to get it. So I wanted to give it to you. I want you to understand that there is a difference between angels and the soul of man departing after death. Those who believe in Christ and accept the remedy for hell will be in heaven. Heaven is real too. Heaven is real too. And it breaks my heart to think a lot of people won't be in heaven. I do everything I can to help people get there, and I'm not kidding. I do. I do a lot of work like that. But ultimately, it is a free will choice, and you choose where you're going to spend eternity. And that's just the bottom line of that. There's so much more I could talk about, so much more when it comes to the spirit realm. But I'll be doing more shows, and I'll be talking more about that at another time. But don't be misled, and be careful. Be careful what you let into your house. Be careful what you're opening up to allow to come in or upon or enter into you or your family. Pray for the protection of your family. If you don't believe in Jesus Christ, I want to encourage you to embrace that power source. Embrace it not for just where you spend eternity, which is like, wow, a big deal, right? But for your protection on earth. People get mad. I deal with people who don't believe in God because bad things happen to them in their life. And I appreciate their truth, and I'm sympathetic that they've suffered. I don't like to see people suffer. But I do have to challenge them on how do you blame something you don't believe in? I don't know. How do you do that? But you know, again, God doesn't cause bad things to happen. The devil causes bad things to happen. But you know what? If you accept the remedy for bad things and you have that protection source, then you can rest assured and live a full life and not have to go around worrying about bad things happening. Again, that is Jesus Christ, the ultimate power source. I know, listen, I know I'm super religiously and all this stuff, and I never thought I'd be this kind of preacher, whatever you want to call me, but I do feel very, very much under conviction to make sure that people know these very basic principles, and that's who I am. And I don't know. I still have a lot of followers, so maybe it's all good, right? It's all right. We're only here for a short time, and God's been good to me. I've been very blessed. I've had great career moves. I've had a lot of good things happen in my life, and I shouldn't have. I'd had no foundation to be able to have good things happen in my life, and in many ways, I'm still a work in progress. I got to tell you, it's very true, especially when it comes to dealing with other people and having relationships I'm supposed to have. I'm still a work in progress with that. You don't come out of bad situations in your formidable years and not have stuff to work on. And it's unfortunate, but it is what it is. Hey, I should be a crack prostitute in jail. That's what I should be, according to everything that I've read. But I'm not, by the grace of God. And I want to do my part to make a difference. I have a lot of knowledge on these things because I've dealt with them hands-on. Front row with battling evil, and I want to let people know these things before I get out of here too. What good is it if I know all these things and have all this knowledge and I don't dispense it and I let people know what I know, right? You know, I'm always a teacher in some ways and I'm always a student. I'm both, and you be both too. God bless you. I'm Karen, Master Karen, Karen Eden, Karen Herdman, Karen Eden Herdman. I'm your sister and I'm your friend. Call me what you want, but I'll see you next time on the Eden Assignment. God bless you. Bye-bye.
Blog Talk Radio.